The Gemara Masechta Erevin Daf Yud Aleph on the base teaches us Tana Tzuras HaPesach Sh'amru. When we speak about the Tzuras HaPesach, the halacha is Kana Mikan V'Kana Mikan, two side posts V'Kana Al Gabeim, and then the crossbeam on top. Ask the Gemara, Tzrichen Liga or Ein Tzrichen Liga? Do these side posts need to touch the upper beam, or do they not need to touch the upper beam? Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzrichen Liga. Rav Nachman says they need not touch. Rav Sheshes Amar Tzrichen Liga, that they do need to touch the upper beams. So we have here a very fundamental machloikis, Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, if the side post need to touch the upper beam or not. And there are a number of ways that I saw how the Achronim and Rishonim explain the Machloikus of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The Divrei Yecheskel says that both Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes typically subscribe to the concept of Gur Asik. The Machloikus in this situation, however, is that we don't have a full-fledged Mechitza. We only have a Kairi Mikan, the Kari Mekan, as the Gemara began. And therefore, under such a situation, Rav Sheshes says that we can't employ the concept of Gur Asik, whereas Rav Nachman holds that even under these circumstances, we could employ the concept of Gur Asik. Davni Nezer also not wanting to say that Rav Sheshes does not subscribe to the concept of Gur Asik, says that normally Rav Sheshes certainly holds that we say Gur Asik. Here, it's not a regular situation. We're trying to create a hecker, as we've discussed so many times in our shiurim. And therefore, Rav Sheshes says, in a situation where we're trying to create a hecker, we can't rely on Gur Asik. Whereas Rav Nachman says, even by Tzuras HaPesach, it's enough to say that we could rely on Gur Asik. However, the explanation given by most Rishonim and Achronim is a simple machloikus. The Rav Nachman follows the concept of Gur Asik, and Rav Sheshes does not. There are a number of nafkaminis lahalocha between these different approaches in understanding the machloikus of Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The Tos for Shabbos says that even Rav Sheshes, who's machmer in our Gemara, will agree that if there's less than three tefachim between the upper beam and the lower beam, that it will be fine. When he says Tzrichen Liga, it means that I have to come within three tefachim. And how do we, and it really depends on how we understand the machlokes. If we understand that, as the Poshta Pshat is, or as the Divrei Yecheskel explains, that here Rav Sheshes does not subscribe to the concept of Gur Asik, so it makes no difference how far the side post is from the upper beam. If we don't say Gur Asik, it won't be effective. However, if we say that the issue is because there has to be a certain tzura, there has to be a certain way how it looks, once it's within three tefachim, it'll be considered a valid tzura sapesach, even according to Rav Sheshes. The other nafkamina, which is a very important nafkamina, is that, as we know, we typically, the Mishnah Berurah already says this, rely on telephone poles, electric poles, to be at Tzuras HaPesach. Now, what is done is not that they actually use the telephone pole as the Tzuras HaPesach. They put a koira, a 10 tefach koira, on that telephone pole, a 10 tefach lechi, a 10 tefach side post, and even if there's a very decent gap between that side post that we put up and the kana, the string that goes on top, the Gemara here, according to Rav Nachman, is saying that that's valid. But the question that comes up is if there's some sort of a chatzitza between that side post and the kana al gabeim. What would be the halacha? It's a big machloikis ha-paiskim, but it seems that most paiskim are of the opinion that even if there's something intervening between the lechi and what's on top of it, we can be makel and still say good asik. It's also interesting to note that the Beis Meir quotes Ahagos Mordechai, who says that even if we're going to say that Rav Nachman says that the side post need not touch the upper post, that's only if there's less than 5 or 6 amos gap. But once you'll have such a significant gap of 5 or 6 amos, then even Rav Nachman would agree that it's not a valid Tzuras HaPesach and we can't validate it. It's a very big chiddush. And the Paiskim himself, the Beis Meir himself, says that it's very common that the Ramah quotes the opinion of the Hagos Mordechai. But this Hagos Mordechai, we don't find that the Ramah should quote. And therefore, he says, it seems that there is no halacha, that there has to be any specific amount, maximum gap between the side post and the top. And in fact, that's what the Shulchan Aruch in the Sif that we keep on referring to goes back to. Ma'u Tzuras HaPesach in Simen Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud Aleph. Ma'u Tzuras HaPesach Kona Mikav V'Kona Makav V'Kona Al Gabeim. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, Afilo Eina Negei Behem, even if the side post does not touch the top cross beam, Afilo Eina Negei Behem, even if it doesn't touch, Ela Yesh Beinayim Kama Amos, there are many amos in between, the halacha is that it's considered a valid, Tzuras HaPesach. And the reason being, as we just explained, because we employ the concept of, good asik to make that Tzuras HaPesach be considered a valid Tzuras HaPesach. The question, however, that we need to discuss as we speak about this halacha of a Tzuras HaPesach being valid, even if it's not touching, because we employ the concept of good asik, is how do we make sure that it is indeed a case of good asik. What I mean to say is, there's a very big discussion amongst the paiskim. What will happen if the walls, the konim, the side post, are not straight? Will that disqualify this Tzuras HaPesach or not? Some paiskim are of the opinion that the Tzuras HaPesach has to be directly above the side posts, have to be perfectly erect, because otherwise it's not considered that the kana is agabeim. It's only considered kana agabeim when it's directly straight above straight side post. Otherwise, it would be considered Tzuras HaPesach min atzad. And in fact, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshev. And in fact, I saw that Rabbi Chaim Brisker was quoted to say that at Tzuras HaPesach, that the side posts are not perfectly straight, is disqualified Tzuras HaPesach. Rabbi Moshe, and that's also the opinion, as I said, of Rabbi Yoshev. And I saw that that was the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher from Yerushalayim. And in fact, I saw that Rabbi Yoshe was once informed that a certain neighborhood was using Erev was using slanted sly post, and he told them that if they're not perfectly straight under the kana, if the kana on top is not directly straight over the straight kana on the bottom, it's a disqualified tzuras haPesach. Ramosha takes a little more of a lenient approach. He says, as long if there's a small deviation and the side posts are somewhat bent, it still looks like a tzuras haPesach. And therefore, according to Ramosha, a deviation of less than 3 tefachim from a virtual straight line does not invalidate a tzuras haPesach. Furthermore, Ramosha held that a straight line, a straight tzuras haPesach that has a straight lower section and it begins to curve gradually at some points, as long as the curve is less than 3 tefachim, it's fine. If, however, Ramosha held, it has an unusual or pronounced curve in the middle of the side posts, even if it's less than 3 tefachim, it gives an impression that this is not a tzuras haPesach, and he will hold that it's disqualified. Reb Aaron Cutler felt that even if it slants more than 3 tefachim, the tzuras haPesach is still valid. Reb Aaron's opinion is clearly based, and in fact, the Lakewood Yeshiva Erev had some side posts that not were perfectly straight, and Reb Aaron, when examining that Erev, said that doesn't say anywhere that the tzuras haPesach must be straight. Why? Because the basis of Reb Aaron's position is that Reb Aaron felt that as long as the kana is touching the top of the side post, that is enough for it to be considered a valid tzuras haPesach, even if it's not directly straight on the rest of the side post. And therefore, the Paiskim, given this distinction that I just made, say that there is going to be a case where everybody may be more lenient with slanted side posts. Because you can have side posts that slant forward, or slant backwards, or slant outwards. That's where the Paiskim that take the strict approach towards the Tzuras haPesach will be machmer. But let's say you'll have side posts that don't, that slant outwards, and then you have the string on top of that entire area. So the entire area is covered, and the fact that the Tzuras haPesach is somewhat slanty doesn't change the fact that the entire area is covered, and therefore we could be a little more lenient. Again, it could well be that the Paiskim will be machmer even under those circumstances, because the Paiskim will say that if a Tzuras haPesach, there's a certain tzur to the Tzuras haPesach, and the tzur of a tzuras haPesach requires that it be straight on the side. And if it isn't straight on the side, even if the entire area is being covered by the cross beam, it still will be considered disqualified. There's also another interesting opinion that I saw cited by the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it lahalocha v'loy lemaisa. He doesn't pass them that way. He says that the halacha is that, as we just started our shiur, you could have a tzuras haPesach where the side post don't reach the top, or you could have a tzuras haPesach and we're relying on good asik, the din that Rav Nachman taught us that we discussed at the beginning of the shiur, or you could have a side post that actually touch. He says it could well be that a slanty side post that's actually touching the cross beam, we could be more lenient versus a side post that's not touching the cross beam, we're relying on good asik. And the Chazon Ish's lomdus is as follows. When we have it going continuously, the cross beam touching the top, and then continuing down to the other side. So our eye follows that entire crossbeam. And since our eye follows that entire crossbeam, we could be more lenient. On the other hand, where we're relying on goraseh and the sides are not touching the top, there we have to be stricter that it has to be perfectly straight one under the other. However, as I said, most Paiskim, the Chazon Ish himself only says this as a svara. He doesn't rely on this svara lahalacha, and he says that it has to be straight. The Stipler quotes the Chazon Ish having held that it always has to be perfectly straight, and if it's not perfectly straight, it cannot be considered a valid crossbeam under any circumstances. A interesting point that some Paiskim can make based on this entire discussion is that in one of our previous shurim, as the Gemara clearly indicates, Atzuras HaPesach, we learned, has to be on top of the crossbeam, has to be directly on top of the corner. So the Paiskim suggest, and they suggest this particularly when we're relying on a good asik Tzuras HaPesach, which is very commonly the case, since we rely on telephone poles and electric poles, that if you make a wider side beam, you have a way of avoiding the problem that we discussed of a Tzuras HaPesach Menetzah. Because we discussed the Tzuras HaPesach Menetzah, and we said that when you have a Tzuras HaPesach Menetzah, you need to be concerned that Tzuras HaPesach, we said we need to be concerned that the top has to be directly on top of the sides. But if you have a wider side, you have much more area to maneuver that you can have the corner on top of the crossbeam on top of the side post and not be worried about a Tzuras HaPesach from that side. I also saw that the Paiskim quote the Michas Elazar, a tshuva from the Michas Elazar, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Vav, that is a raya, that a slanty side post is not a disqualification. The Michas Elazar says, we know that there's a very famous Machlokes Rishonim in Hilchas Mezuzah, where they debate how a mezuzah should be put on the door. Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Should the mezuzah be put upright, or should the mezuzah be put flat? And the Rama in Yerideya, Simen Resh Pei Tes, Sif Vav, says, since we have the Machloikis, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, what to do, as the minig is, we put the mezuzah on a slant. And the question is very obvious, that if you're putting on a slant, you haven't really satisfied anybody. It's not straight, and it's not flat. So why would that be considered a good compromise? So he said, and furthermore, since we follow the opinion of Rashi, L'chatchila, and Rashi's opinion is that the mezuzah has to be straight, how putting something slanty is fulfilling Rashi's obligation, says the Michas Elazar. From here we see that if we put something flat, it's also, if we put something slanty, it's also halachically considered like we put it, it's also halachically considered like we did it with a proper, like we did it with a proper tzuras hapes, with straight. Slanty is also considered straight, and that's why it's considered a valid. That's why it's considered a valid tzuras hapesach. There's one other interesting halacha that I want to mention in the halachas of tzuras hapesach, and that is that sometimes we want to rely on two halachal moshe mesinais to construct the tzuras hapesach. And that would be the halachal moshe mesinai of lavud and the halachal moshe mesinai of gur asik. That means we have the side beam, but we don't have a full side beam. We have a side beam that has a gap in the middle. Obviously, a gap of less than 3 tefachim. And then the side beam, as we've been discussing in this shiur, does not reach the top. What would be the halacha on such a tzuras hapesach? So I saw that the Paiskim say that such a tzuras of Pesach is actually disqualified. And the reason they say that such a tzuras of Pesach is disqualified is because we're relying on two halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We're relying on the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of Lovud and on the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of good asik. And the Paiskim say that we can't rely simultaneously on two different halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore they say that such a tzuras of Pesach should not be used. So as we conclude our series of shiurim on tzuras haPesach, I'd like to take a moment to review some of the concepts that we've learned and some of the basic halachas of tzuras haPesach. Again, a tzuras haPesach is made by placing two vertical side posts at two far ends of a space that's being enclosed, and a crossbeam, as we discuss, usually a string or a wire, is suspended on top of those two side posts. The tzuras haPesach that we were discussing should be, the side post should be 10 tefachim high. There should be no objects obstructing within the tzuras haPesach, and lechatchila, there should be no more than 3 tefachim between the side post of the tzuras haPesach and any adjacent partitions. As we said, the side post should be 10 tefachim high. If they they should be within 3 tefachim of the ground, and they should be able to withstand normal gusts of wind. As we just finished learning, they should be put in a straight position. They should not be curved or warped. And therefore, they should be attached to something firm that will keep them in place. The crossbeam or a string should be attached to the top of the side post. The best way of doing it, as the Mishnah Brewer suggested, is by attaching a nail to the top of the side post and then wrapping the string or wire around that nail, because if it's anywhere else, if we just put it in between, that would be a tzuras haPesach be minatzad. The string or wire should be stretched tight to prevent it from sagging or swaying in the wind. The entire length of that string must remain above 10 tefachim, and it should be on a straight line between the two posts. And again, here too, the string should not go through any trees or bushes, because by going through trees or bushes, it will disqualify, because that is not the way a tzuras haPesach should look. As we discussed a few moments ago, that if we use wider side post, that helps us avoid a problem of tzuras haPesach min hatzad. The Paiskim also suggest that perhaps one should use two screws on top of each post instead of one, because by using two screws, we're able to wrap it like in a figure eight between these two nails. And if the string begins to stretch over time, it's just easier to fix by tightening it in that figure eight. Again, it's very important to try to attach the side posts to a wall or other solid structure, which will prevent the post from moving or bending, and it also will support the cross string in a better way. If one is putting the side post near a tree, he should be careful not to make sure that it's not 3 tefachim off the ground. And one also has to be careful with the parts of the tree going out over that tzuras haPesach. If at all possible, one should avoid making a tzuris of Pesach connected to a tree. It's better to put it connected to a wall, or as we've been discussing, to an electric or telephone pole. Of course, as we finish these eight series, the series of eight shiurim on tzuris of Pesach, I just want to caution that the purpose of these shiurim was just to sensitize the various halachic issues that all emerged from the Gemara we learned about a tzuris of Pesach. But if somebody is constructing a tzuris of Pesach, he should be careful to ask a Rav how indeed the tzuris of Pesach, if the tzuris of Pesach that he's constructing is 100% halachically perfect.